everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you are listening to Author, where one writer talks to another writer about the books we write and the lives we lead and how these two things are one in the same. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as audio and video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. To learn more about the PNWA, please go to pnwa.org. Well, today we're going to do something just a little bit different than normal. Usually I have one, though in the future I think I'll be having two, but normally just one guest on, and we have a chat about writing and the writing life, and sometimes I'm able to take a question or two from the listeners. But today I thought I'd do something different and open it up to you, the listeners, and all your questions and ideas and concerns, and we would just have ourselves a little free-for-all. There's a number of ways these questions can be given to me. If you'd like to call in the show, you can do so at 661-449-9357. That's 661-449-9357, and I will do everything to get you on the air. You can also, if you have the technological wherewithal, log into our flash chat on Blog Talk Radio. And some of you knew I would be doing this format today, and you'd even emailed me some questions, which I will take and get to as many as I can. Now, if I don't get to your question, or if you're simply too shy to call in with it, don't worry, because I will, in my experience, no matter what questions I actually answer, one way or another, every question does get answered. And in large part, I think that is because there is really only one answer to all our creative questions, and that is, do what you love and fear nothing. That's really all I ever say. And that's really all there ever is to say about the writing, but there's a lot of ways to say it, and so we'll see how many ways there are today. But I thought I would start off with a question that was sent to me by a writer friend named Jeff, and Jeff asked if I could talk about the split personality authors have to maintain between being solitary and writing, and then the sociability as a marketer. These two personalities, something I've talked about some in the difference between being a writer and an author. Jeff is absolutely right. When you are a writer, you could not be any more solitary, could you? Writing occurs absolutely within the most private place within us that we can find. And invariably, this is written in the privacy of our own office. Sometimes we might take it out to a cafe or some such, and sometimes we write with a partner, but almost all of us write alone and in private. And then we have to take this thing that we've written in private and bring it out to the world, must go public with it, must become an author. Maybe we're going to be marketing, maybe we're going to be doing readings, maybe we're going to be sending these manuscripts out to agents and editors and so on. So how do you deal with that split personality? Well, when I got this question, I thought of a great quote from Joseph Campbell, who told a story from the myth of the Grail Quest. When all the knights of the Round Table, Camelot's the knights of Camelot, were sent off in search of the Grail, the Grail that held Christ's blood, they were sent off in search of the Grail, the Holy Grail. And the legend goes that as each knight went off on his own journey in search of the Grail, if he came upon the footprints of another knight, and he followed those footprints, he became lost. And I think that this is the metaphor for us as artists, as writers. The first thing we do as a writer is seek, in the privacy of our workshop, wherever that is, of our desk, we seek the Grail, really, that which we find most valuable. It could be what we find scary, what we find funny, what we find sexy or intelligent or interesting or profound. Whatever it is we are most interested in, that's what we seek, what we find valuable. And so we find it, and we translate it, and we put it onto the page, and we keep all our attention upon it. We create the book we want to read. And then, having done that, having found what we find valuable, having discovered it and translated it, we then go out into the world. And when we do that, we are then compelled to ignore the footprints of all the other knights out there seeking what they find most valuable. The footprints that we can see in book reviews, the footprints that appear in book reviews, both good and bad, in perhaps the opinions of our writing group, of what other people are writing. These are all the paths other people are leading. As we go out and share what we want to share, what we found valuable, we must keep our attention on it. Always return our attention to the thing, what it felt like, that which we found valuable felt like. Why did we think it was worth sharing? We have no proof that it's worth sharing other than it feels valuable to us. We must keep our attention upon it. And as we go out in the world and all this feedback comes to us, some of it good, some of it bad, our attention must always return to why we thought this was valuable and why we wanted to share it. And that sense of value will guide us to who to talk to and how to talk about it and how to respond when reviews are good and how to respond when reviews are bad. Your attention must remain on what you find most valuable and what you want to share with others. I don't know how else to do it. It's the only way to do it. You must keep your attention where it belongs. Okay, well, I see some people are lining up with questions. That is fantastic. We are a little low tech here at Blog Talk Radio, so I don't have your names. All I have are the first three digits of your phone number minus your area code, so I'm going to introduce you that way. And so I'm going to start with 866. 866, you are on the air. Who am I talking to? Hello? Your number starts 866. You're on author to author. Who am I talking to? Can you hear me? Oh, you can't hear me. Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'm going to go to 379. You're 379. Hello, you're on author to author.
Hey, Bill, it's Terry.
Why, hello, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I love listening to your program, so I thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity for me to ask a question I've been meaning to ask you for the last couple times I've seen you and haven't had the chance since
great.
We're so busy. And that is how you feel about writing various genres, because you've done several different things. You've done literary novels. You've worked on your memoir now. You've done a fantasy.
Fantasy stuff, yeah.
And in talking about just what you were talking about, doing what you want to do at the moment or what you love, how do you feel about jumping around like that? Is that something that you think is more interesting, more fun, just it's just where it happened to go? You know, how does that work?
Well, you know, I think I don't think there's any one rule about it, of course. Some people are very happy moving around genres, although usually there's a common thread through all their work. You know, they might write romance, romantic suspense, romantic mystery, romantic science. You know, usually there's something that sort of binds all these different attempts at genre. But I wouldn't advise a writer to jump around just to jump around. I think that you should do it if there is something that, some story that compels you and that calls to you. And if it falls in a genre outside of what you're writing, I say go for it if it's really calling to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I know you've moved around, too.
Yeah.
You've done everything from science fiction to fantasy to literary to poetry, even. Isn't that right?
I do, yeah. And I saw your interview with Barty Kirshner as well.
Hmm.
And she,
yeah, that's just who I was thinking of.
A little bit. Yeah, and I think it's I was just curious on how you viewed that, because you interview so many different people. And, you know,
well,
I know
also
we're always
in this interview,
told to do
also
one
in this
thing.
Issue is an interview with Jess Walter. It's another good example. So Terry is referencing my interview with Barty Kirshner, who had written first cookbooks, of all things, and then transitioned into fiction, but really traditional mainstream literary fiction. And then she started her most recent book, Tulip Season, and it had a mystery element to it. And as she explored the story, she realized it was not just a literary novel with a mystery element. It was a mystery for all intents and purposes. Albeit one that was a somewhat unusual setting, and that it moved from had an Indian American protagonist that moved to India and so on, but it was a mystery. And I think that's one of the best ways to move around genres, to say, here's a story that I seem to want to tell. Oh, look, it seems to be taking place in the future. Oh, look, this is feeling like science fiction. I seem to be wanting to write about dystopia. Okay, now I'm a science fiction. In fact, when I talked to William Gibson, the man who sort of changed science fiction, really, I said, what's the difference between you, science fiction writers like yourself, and postmodernists, people like Pynchon, who often dabble in science fiction? He said, I got the science fiction awards and they didn't. And so, in other words,
that was about it, huh?
No, in other words, he never saw himself. He thought he was going to.
Wow.
He was done with genre. He said, "I wasn't interested in writing genre. I was sick of science fiction, even though that's where I came from. I was going to." He said, "I was Dylan going electric, you know." And he said, "Then they gave me all their science fiction awards, and so I was a science fiction writer." But he didn't see himself that way. He just wrote the story he wanted to write and said, "Well, I have this. I have an interest in science fiction." I mean, so for yourself, I know you've moved around. What is it that that asked you to move from writing literary stuff like Sweet Song, right, which was essentially historical-ish literature, yeah, about the slave or the mulatto in Civil War times? Is that when it was set, just after the Civil War?
Yep, just after Civil War. Well,
right.
You know what? I think you're hitting on something that's interesting to all of us, and that is the difference between sitting down and plotting it out and creating an outline and sitting down and starting to write something and saying, wow, where is this going?
Yeah.
And I tend to say, where is this going, and shoot off in whatever direction the characters seem to go. And boy, sometimes I wish they were all going in one genre,
well,
just to make it easy on me. But
yeah, but you know, Jess Walter talked about the same sort of thing. I mean, he's a literary guy for sure, but his work, sometimes he does sort of postmodern-y type stuff. Sometimes he does domestic things. This one's like almost like a lot. His most recent, Beautiful Ruins, has a kind of a sweeping romantic quality to it. It covers many years, and certainly a guy I'm thinking about getting back on the show is Colson Whitehead, whose last book had been a sort of a tender coming of age. This one, he's written a literary zombie apocalypse book in Zone One. I'd kind of like to get him on and talk about it. So he's someone who bounces around. I think that if you simply are, if you let yourself tell the story you absolutely want to tell, you will tell the best story you can tell, and the rest, the where it appears in the bookshelf and so on, will sort itself out. I know there's marketing advice that says don't move around the book. So you want, you know, if you've written one mystery, keep writing another mystery. If you've written a suspense, keep writing a suspense. But I think you're always better off writing the story that is really calling to you, whatever it is. Instead of trying to strategize. You know, I tried writing the fantasy, and I kind of liked the story. I liked the story a lot. Got a great agent for it. We couldn't sell it. And when I tried writing another one, because I had this agent who represented fantasy and so on, I couldn't do it. I was not interested anymore. And that's when I wrote the memoir, which I was very interested in writing. And
yeah,
now I'm writing another memoir because I'm very interested in it. So
that's
I think it's the only
way really
to go.
Yep.
Because if you're not
interested
in it, I don't know how your readers are going to be interested in it.
Yep, I agree.
Don't you think?
I agree. I think that's exactly it. It's just different for some of us. Some people can get into a character stream or a place and just live there for years and years and years with all the stories involved, and others are wandering around the country, I guess.
If there was only one way to do it, everybody would just do it that way. And I've known many writers who've, you know, Megan Chance is a good example. She wrote romance. She got her start in the romances at Harlequin, I believe. And then she moved over to mainstream, well, sort of historical romance, but more historical with a touch of romance, to really mainstream fiction, because she was done with romance. She was done with genre on that level. She just wasn't working for her anymore, but she really appreciated what she learned writing for genre and how she learned to tell a story and so on. She really cut her teeth doing that. And so, you know, I must tell you, Terry, we are in charge of far less than we think we are. I have come to the conclusion that the writing process, this is getting kind of metaphysical, but I think that this is really what it is, that my job when I create, when I write, is not to make stuff up, and in a way, not to even create anything, but to allow, create an environment inside me that allows creative energy to enter. I'm more like a gardener. Like the gardener creates an environment in his garden that allows the life to grow. He doesn't create the flowers out of the dirt and the sun. He just allows the garden to grow. And I think I do the same thing in myself. I create a place within me as still and open and receptive as possible, and then the energy comes in and I translate it. But my job is mostly just to get the hell out of the way. Get my mind out of the way, get my ego out of the way, get my need to be right and better than everybody else out of the way, and let the real creative stuff come in and guide me, really. lot less pressure.
Yeah, I like that. Well, like you said earlier, fear nothing.
Fear nothing, baby.
Yeah.
Fear is the only thing. If you actually want to write, if you actually would do it for free, every day, and almost every single writer I know would, they want to get paid and they should get paid, but they would do it for free anyway, then the only thing that can stand between you and the kind of success you think you want is fear. Fear.
Yep.
The idea that for some reason it's not to be for you, and it simply isn't true. It simply is not. You cannot lose the real roulette wheel of life. Oh, I want it to be, but I just was born without the skills. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Not for a moment. So, what an excellent question, Terry.
Yeah,
thank you so much. I'm
going
to put you on hold and see if I can get this other person to respond. Hopefully they can hear me this time. Thanks again, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so again, we're going to try and get you on air. Your phone number begins 866. So if that's you and you're listening and you aren't getting a cup of coffee for yourself, are you on the air? 866, can you hear me? I can hear you. Are you there? You're on Author to Author. No, you're not. Okay, I'm putting you back on hold. I'll try again with you later on. You know, I got another good question from Kate. Emailed me. Kate reads, I have a daily column that I write for Author Magazine. Again, it's authormagazine.org. Now, once again, I am doing this live, and I'm taking questions. So if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 661-449-9357. That's 661-449-9357. So if you want to call in with a question, please feel free to do so. But Kate knew I was going to be doing the show. She wasn't going to be able to make she was working at this time, so she emailed me a question about my column, which I write about 4 to 5 times a week, depending on my schedule. And so she says, where do you look for continued inspiration? And it's a good question when you have to write a column every single day. And one of the beauties of writing that column, what I've learned writing it, is that I can start anywhere. I can start almost anywhere and follow whether it's maybe I could write about the fact that it's a sunny day or that it's a rainy day or that I got a bad night's sleep, or I can remember a story from my past, or I can remember a conversation I had with somebody, or maybe I watched a movie. But everything eventually leads me to that same place I always want to share, which is do what you love and fear nothing. And it was really quite a lesson for me that I didn't have to have my whole column charted out for myself before I wrote. If I simply sat down and thought of one interesting thing and then followed it honestly and went as deeply into it as I could, I would be led somewhere that seemed valuable. And so all of life was in that way inspiring. And it was a great lesson to me that I just trusted that anything in life could lead to a column worth writing about. And she has a follow-up. She says, how do you force yourself to focus on that one topic each day, or do you write simultaneous blogs? And I assume she means focus on that one topic that I'm writing that day. Again, I just focus on anything that seems of interest to me. Because you see, all of life is connected. All of life is about the same thing. How do I stay balanced? How do I stay happy? How do I think a thought, follow a thought of love instead of following a thought of fear? It happens every single, you know, it's always think about people who say they have found God or they found Jesus, as if such a thing could happen in one single moment. Whatever you call God or your belief in love or peace or divine, you don't find it once, you find it every single moment of your life. It's like a balance beam that you're crossing. You have to find it and find it and find it and find it. And it never stops. So every breath you take, every choice you make is a choice between love and fear, which is sort of the choice between God and the devil. And so it never ever ends. It's just it's a lifelong practice. And so this tension that is being alive, which is choosing between love and fear, exists within every single moment. It exists on a walk through the park. It exists in a roller coaster ride. It exists in the war. It exists if you're President Obama or Mitt Romney running against President Obama, and it exists equally in everybody at every single moment. And so it's just a question of asking how is this moment a portal into the deepest part of life? And so and a follow-up again, Kate wants to know, do you outline your blog or do you free write? I free write. I couldn't possibly outline. I can't outline anything. And then her last question is, how are you approaching the writing project for No One Is Broken? No One Is Broken is my book, my memoir about what I learned, from raising my son who's on the autism spectrum, how being his father taught me really what I needed to learn to become a human being. And the way I approached that is the same way I approached writing the blogs, which is the story was only valuable, I found, the story No One Is Broken about raising my son on the autism spectrum, when I went deeply into the story. If I stayed on the surface of the story, if I stayed on the surface where all the sort of conflict lay, there was nothing happening. But if I went deeply beneath the surface of events to the deepest currents of what really moved me to take action, that was where the story was. And that's how I try to deal with the blog. I try to dive in as deeply as possible to find the value in whatever it is I've thought about that day. And the same is true of No One Is Broken. If I looked at what happened, the event that happened, maybe it was Sawyer, my son, wanting a bunch of animal crackers, or maybe it was me teaching him how to pretend or how to actually play for the first time. If I just wrote about what exactly happened, it wasn't interesting. But if I went as deeply as I could beneath what happened, there I found the story that I was actually trying to tell. So I'm going to try one more time to get old 866. Your phone number is 866. I'm not going to give you the last two numbers, but 866, you are on the air. If you can hear me, can you hear me, 866? You are not on hold anymore. Oh, dear. I don't know where you are, but you're somewhere. Well, I'm going to put you back on hold. Maybe you'll hear me next time. All right. Well, there's still time. We've got about 10 minutes left now. Again, if you'd like to call the show, my phone number is 661-449-9357. That's 661-449-9357. Brian had written in with a question. He asked, once you complete your manuscript and it's time to start a new one, what's the best way to get going when you're in that initial idea phase? You know, for those of us who like to write every day, sometimes just writing outlines or fleshing out ideas doesn't seem quite satisfying. Do you have a better idea? So Brian's asking, you love to write, you've finished some big project, and what to do now? You're not ready to start the next one, but you really love to write. Well, again, there is no one answer for this exactly. That is to say, for some people, they just dive right into the next project. They hardly have they closed the first file, the file for their novel. They open up another file for the next one. However, for me, I might write some music or do editing for videos and do other creative work in between. I am usually a proponent of letting your jets cool a little bit, letting your well fill up. I do think when you write a big project, it may be emptied out a little bit, and you need to reconnect to the stuff that provides a new story. And I don't think this always happens immediately, so I think it's good to let yourself reconnect, give yourself some time. But regardless of whether you want to leap into the next story or wait, I think it's important that when you write, and I think that Brian might be hinting at this, that you don't write to feel good about yourself. In other words, you don't start your next story, your next project, because you're afraid you can't feel your own value unless you are writing all the time. I had a student at a class I was teaching the other day say that she what do you do if you all you want to do is write, and you can't stop writing, and it's hard for you to put the story down. And I suggested to her that she was feeling that need to keep writing and writing and writing because she felt the fullness of her sort of creative potential while she was writing, but she wasn't feeling it outside of the writing. But in fact, it exists just as much outside of the writing as it does within the writing. So if we are writers, we love to write, we feel our creative full selves often while writing, but that same full self exists away from the desk as it does at the desk. And we don't want to begin to lean on the writing and use it to feel good about ourselves, because what we want to share in the writing is that part of ourselves that we already know is valuable. I think that, you know, when you're marketing yourself, one of the best things you can do if you're a fiction writer when marketing yourself is to market yourself, not so much your book, but you. Share what you love and what is interesting about you and what is interesting about that, what you find interesting about the world. Share that. And so if you feel the only thing interesting about you is the fact that you write, well, A, it's dishonest, and B, you can't share that. You can't share the fact that you simply like to write. There is something about you and about life that you find interesting, and you find it interesting whether you're writing or not. Writing might be the place that you understand it best, but it exists within you every moment whether you're writing or not. And it's important to be connected to it both at the desk and away from the desk. Do not think for a moment that you only live fully while you're working. It's not true. It's simply not true. You're always just as much alive, no matter whether you're eating dinner or writing the next great American novel. There is something unique about the experience of writing. I love it. I feel very connected. But you can feel just as connected at any moment. And if you start using it to feel good, you can even constrict it a little bit. You can start demanding too much from it. And this thing that you love can become cut off. You can get cut off from it because you demand too much from it. So allow yourself to rest. Allow yourself to rest. Everybody has to rest. Allow yourself some time to fill up. Know that you are just as valuable whether you're writing or not, whether you're publishing or not. You're always valuable, and that value is what it is you want to share. Well, maybe fourth time's a charm. I'm going to try one more time with old 866. I thought I heard her whispering. So you are on the air. Ah, now you're on the air. 866, can you hear me? Can you hear me? What have you done? What have you done? Where have you gone? Well, we just don't know. I'm going to put you on hold again. I'm sorry. Well, that's life. Sometimes we've got other things on our mind, trying to do two things at once. I know I've done that many times. So I got another little email from Judy, and she wants to know what I can say to people like her who will do absolutely anything to avoid sitting down to write, out of fear perhaps that it just won't be there this time, but who once they're writing, enjoy it. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? We love to write. So Judy says, I love to write. Once I'm doing it, I always love it. And yet, I sit down, I do anything I can to avoid writing. She thinks it's out of fear that it won't be there this time. I do think that one of the challenges of being an author, for instance, and the author in my vernacular is the person who shares their work with the outside world, whether they're sharing it with a writing class or with their partner or with an agent, editor, or hundreds of thousands of readers. An author is the one who shares the work. And when we share our work, we have to surrender it to the unknown, by which I mean other people. We never know with other people what they're going to like. We never know with other people whether they're going to like our work or not, whether they're going to buy our work or not. And so just as we have to surrender our work to the unknown, so too when we write do we surrender to the unknown, because we never know before we write what's going to come that day. The whole process, soup to nuts, is a willingness to embrace the unknown and then thrive in that mystery once we are there. We can do it. You can do it. You asked for this, and now you've got it. Well, I just heard a little bird in my ear tell me that our time is up. Well, thank you, everybody who wrote in with questions. Thanks, Terry, for calling in. I'm sorry I couldn't get to everybody, but I did the best I could. Please tune in next week when I'm going to have novelist Lori Frankel as my guest. Until then, do what you love and fear nothing, and you will be good. Thanks for listening.